Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm also aware that we don't have any manuscripts that we could say are things like Q. I'm aware we're not
That's
getting onto
right.
this, but it's interesting. Like the theories are fascinating, but then when you actually look at the manuscriptual evidence, it's also kind of lacking, which raises other interesting points about the actual authorship of the Gospels, which is the next question. So it's often claimed that the New Testament authors were writing in another language and another country, and probably didn't even know Jesus personally. Luke obviously kind of didn't necessarily know Jesus, but was traveling with Paul. We're aware of that from Acts and the sort of way that he starts the Gospel of Luke off. So how do we actually come to the position where we know that these texts are actually transferring the details and the reality of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection?
If I can combine my answer to that with the point that you began with, what we have in numerous accounts of ancient individuals, lives of Caesars, biographies of Alexander the Great, the lives of eminent philosophers by Diogenes Laertius and others, are regular references to earlier sources that no longer exist. And one of the reasons, besides things simply being lost in antiquity, that smaller sources that historians and biographers relied on no longer exist is because they weren't needed. They were incorporated into the longer texts. So on the one hand, it's perfectly appropriate to say the hypothesized Q document does not exist independently of the four Gospels, but in fact, it may well exist in the 235 verses or thereabouts that Matthew and Luke have in common, not in Mark, in which case there would have been no need to save those documents. There is no foolproof way, using historical methods to determine authorship of anonymous documents, which is officially what the four Gospels are. The manuscripts for centuries had no names attached to what today we think of as certain chapters and verses. But the oldest known documents where we have the very beginnings preserved, where titles were put on, all do refer to the gospel according to, and then either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, which has suggested to most people that Mark may well have been the first to create that kind of a title, and then others, in order to distinguish their works from his, used the same wording, Evangelion kata, the gospel according to, but then substituted the other three names instead. There are a lot of questions surrounding the authorship, and most of it depends on how heavily you weight what are called external and internal evidences. There are a variety of features internally within the text of the Gospels that have led many scholars to wonder or even assert dogmatically that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John could not have written those documents. But what's interesting is that when you look at the datings suggested by the vast majority, we're still looking at first century dates and within 2 generations of the lifetime of Jesus of Nazareth, which by ancient standards, oral cultures carefully preserving important epic and even sacred traditions is a quite reasonable length of time for good information to be preserved. On the other hand, if we take the unanimous conviction of those second, third, fourth century Christian writers who supplied information about the authorship, then we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the synoptics, the first three, not being people that you would naturally attribute a falsified document to, as we find plenty of examples in the so-called apocryphal Gnostic texts. Mark, barely known except for having abandoned Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. Luke, known only from two brief references in greetings at the ends of Paul's letters, where in one case he is referred to as Paul's beloved physician. And Matthew, the converted tax collector, probably never became wildly popular, even after Jesus' death. And so scholars from the center to somewhat right of center on the scholarly spectrum will still routinely say that a good case can be made that these ascriptions of authorship are correct.
So just picking up on a point you made right at the start about the sort of kind of Gospels being potentially anonymous, I guess, and you're absolutely right, like the largest majority of New Testament scholars do believe that this, or New Testament historians believe this. And kind of, I recently read a book called The Case for Jesus by Brant Petrie, and he kind of basically sketches out, for what I could tell, is a very convincing case, which is that none of our earliest manuscripts are anonymous, and no church fathers are talking as if these gospels were anonymous, but yet everybody seems to come to the position that these gospels started off as anonymous. I kind of wonder why. Could you help me understand why that is the position that scholars hold? Because I feel like we should be starting with they aren't anonymous, and then having evidence to suggest they were anonymous, rather than saying they were anonymous, then looking at the evidence and going, I can't see how that makes sense. So could you help me with that?
It's certainly true. Simon Gathercole in Cambridge is another one who has defended this recently, and they may well be right. I think it's always important for someone who is somewhat conservative in their scholarship, like I am, to not always adopt the most conservative position available, lest people accuse you of simply doing that for the sake of doing it, rather than because that's where the evidence points you to. It does strike me that it's very possible that as individual gospels were first produced, again, if we accept the little information we have from early tradition, they were addressed with the needs and desires of one particular community or group of Christian communities in mind. They would have then been copied and disseminated much more widely. But the idea that someone, perhaps even the author, independently or because they were knowingly part of an accumulating tradition, chose the identical formula to introduce all four with, varying only the name, strikes me as perhaps a bit more improbable than that someone at the point, perhaps very late first or early second century, for the first time collecting these four together as a group, found it important to differentiate them and did so by the identical generic label, then followed by the varying author's name. But what you have suggested from Petra is certainly possible.
Yeah, I find that space to be so interesting, that these gospels were written to a group of individuals to address their needs and to address their understandings. I kind of also wonder, this isn't really a question, it's just more musing, so apologies, but I kind of also wonder whether these gospels would have been written potentially without the title, but also been passed over with a letter to an individual and then sent on again, potentially not with a title, but with a letter saying this is what was passed to us from X, Y, or Z. And then as they were accumulated, these titles got added to us, but that they were never actually anonymous. That's, I think, the sort of kind of heart of my question is, a lot of people point to them and say they were just written by somebody out in the sticks and got sucked into this vortex that became the New Testament.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, I think what people mean when they refer to them as anonymous is to distinguish the phenomena of the Gospels from, say, most of the epistles of the New Testament, where within the text itself, typically at the very beginning, is a claim for authorship. It's that we don't find in what we call Mark 1:1 or Matthew 1:1, and that's all that people typically mean when they say it's anonymous.
Yeah, I think that point is lost on so many people. Anyway, we'll leave that there, but that's such a fascinating one.
As are many other points.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. I can absolutely imagine.